Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. Today we are talking again with Kyle Van Dusen, a two-part episode. So if you haven't listened to the first one, go back and listen to that. It's about getting involved in online communities to build your profile and business and to get support from other people. And it was a pretty awesome episode, I think, and something that all of us should get involved with. It's been a big part of my business, and pretty much every connection I have is through online communities. So, and in fact, that's what I didn't say in the last episode is that's why I'm here in Chiang Mai to meet people in real life that I've only ever met online before, to sort of really reinforce those relationships. But again, thanks for joining me, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here again.
Yeah. And today we're talking about the process of going from working for someone else to making it a full-time gig. And so this is, I guess, the target audience for people in this episode is are those people who are just starting out in web design, right? And want to sort of get to a point where they can quit their job and live solely off the income they are creating from clients. So, I mean, I guess the easiest part is to just talk about how you did it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I spent about 15 years in the print industry working for the man. And, eventually I started seeing the boss taking more and more days off and more vacation time and buying nice trucks and new houses and leaving me at work to run everything. You know, we didn't have a big company, but I was the most senior position there. I had kind of hit my ceiling on what I could ever make, and was spending way too many hours stressing out over his business while he was getting rich off of it. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to work this hard, I need to be doing this for myself. So that kind of started the journey.
There's almost a lesson there in, like, if you are running an agency or, you know, and have staff, probably don't do that to them.
Yeah, don't do that to them.
Do all the work while you're buying all these, like, stuff.
Yeah, long story short, when I left, I think things changed pretty drastically in his life. So I don't think it left him in a real great position, but I don't really feel bad about it either.
No.
So my wife, actually, she beat me to the punch. She started her own business a few years before I did. She kind of did the same transition thing from a full-time job to starting her business on the side and then being able to take that full-time. And it wasn't 6 weeks into her being full-time and me seeing her setting her own schedule, you know, doing the things she wanted to do. And I just realized, you know, I really got to get after this. So it's, you know, at the time we had two kids, a house, and, you know, the stakes are kind of high for both incomes to be self-employed, you know, and not have that steady income. So we had to be pretty careful about doing it. And I think all the steps we took, I think we did that at least the right way for us. It might not be the right way for everybody, so I hate to, you know, say this is how you got to do it. But I think it worked out really well for us and doing some planning. So I definitely want to share some of those things that I learned during that time, because I know there's people out there that's their dream too, you know. So it can definitely be done. I'm not anybody special. I just tried hard for it and made it happen. So I know if you're listening to this and you're kind of in that situation, it can definitely be done, and there is light at the end of that tunnel.
Absolutely. And like, it's a good thing you said there, like, there's so many ways you can achieve this, right? Like, you know, I know some people that just save up a bunch of money and quit and try and make it work, which is, I don't know, like, probably the risky way of doing it. But yeah, so sure. Like, Kyle's way is not the only way, but at least, you know, it's a way that has worked for someone. So yeah. Let's
yeah. If I would have just left my job and hoped it worked, I would have ended up with a divorce. So I had to do the saving money part. But I think the number one key for us, you know, for us as a family, and especially for somebody that has kids and a house and a lot of responsibilities and stuff like that, is the first thing we did was we busted tail for about 2.5 years getting ourselves completely out of debt. So that was no more credit cards, paying those off, paying off all the student loans, paying off cars, paying off the house. We didn't owe anybody anything by the time I left my job. So it's a whole lot easier to survive on your own and survive making less money when you're not paying a whole bunch of interest. So we did the, it's a Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. So he's got kind of like a framework and everything you can go through to kind of work these steps to get yourself out of debt. And it was just super helpful and literally life-changing for us to be able to just wipe all that stuff away and say, you know, we can live on almost nothing now, which is pretty amazing. So yeah, I think
I'm just sort of thinking there, because I mean, that would be almost impossible for someone in Australia, right? Like, because our real estate is kind of ridiculous. Unless you lived out, I guess, in the middle of nowhere, that might be possible. But I had this exact thing. Like, I had to pay rent or a mortgage, but I just made sure it was minimized, right? I just sort of wanted to, just in case someone's thinking, like, I could never get out of debt. I mean, for the most part, you can. I think, like, the bad debt, like credit cards, cars, and other, like, high-interest stuff, that's the most important. But I think if you've got a decent loan on your house and your repayments aren't that huge, then you can still manage this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the house was the last thing we did, and it was only because we were moving. We sold the house and we haven't bought another one yet. So that was the biggest chunk out of it. But yeah, getting out of the credit cards and stuff. But I mean, we were married and you know, both working full time for probably 8 years, and at the end of the year didn't have an extra penny in our savings account. Jeez. And when we started this program and started doing things a different way, you know, it was about 2.5 years, and we ended up paying off about $60,000 in credit cards, student loans, cars, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, congratulations. So
congratulations. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's an achievement I'm pretty proud of. So
yeah, absolutely.
That was step one, trying to get all that squared away. And the next thing was trying to build up some kind of runway for the business, so that when I did go full time, if things didn't go as well as I hoped, there was some money to fall back on. You know, so we saved up probably about 6 months of what I needed to be bringing in before I was able to quit my job. So that way, that gave me enough time to say, you know, if we were 4 months in it and I'm still struggling or not making enough money, you know, I got 2 months to find a new job before we're, you know, living in a cardboard box. So trying to think of those things strategically, think of those things ahead of time before you get yourself into a bind is super important.
Yeah. And the way, because this is actually quite similar to how I did it. I'm not sure how many months it was, but I, actually just looked at my bank account for the previous, it was about 6 months, you know, and tedious process. Yeah, sure. But right. I went back for every single thing that came out of my bank account and categorized it into, you know, what kind of cost it was. Was it rent? Was it, I don't know, like a fuel, that car stuff, you know? So, and with that, I knew exactly how much it cost me to live. And this was even across Christmas, including buying presents and crap for people. So I was like, this is like worst case, right? This is the time I spend most money. So that was my figure, right? Once I could pay myself that from the business, that was when I was going to quit. It's slightly different. It wasn't so much for the nest egg. That was to work out how much I needed to pay myself. But that was a really, really helpful strategy for me.
Yeah. People don't want to think that, you know, things are going to go bad for them. And you want to be optimistic, and you need to be optimistic when you're doing this. You know, you're probably going to have a hard time succeeding if you keep telling yourself you're going to fail. So you got to kind of have that mindset that you're going to succeed, but you got to be realistic too, you know? So I think that's important for sure.
Yeah. And before all of this, there's one thing that's not clear to me. Like, how are you building your business on the side before you even went through all of this stuff? Like, were you building websites at like 10 p.m. through to 3 a.m.?
Yeah, pretty much. So where I worked, we didn't do any kind of web work. But where I live, your boss can fire you if he just thinks you look funny. So they can fire you for any reason. So when I first started doing this, I started promoting on my personal Facebook page. You know, if somebody needed help with the website, I could help them out. And I got called into the boss's office immediately. And he said, you know, absolutely not, under no circumstances, you know, you're going to shut all that stuff down or you won't have a job anymore.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I was like, okay, how am I going to make this work? You know, I certainly wasn't going to stop. I was just going to have to find a little bit more creative way to do it. So I was just doing everything under my own name. So I came up with the business name, kind of hid everything from him and started working on just like personal relationships I had with people and working after hours and on the weekends and trying to build up jobs that way. And all of it in the beginning was just referral based. You know, that the first company I got work from, told one of their friends and I got a job from that and it kind of just snowballed from there. Mm-hmm. So everything that I started out with was just building those relationships, you know, in person, one-on-one, and being honest with people like, hey, I have a full-time job. I'm going to be working on your job at odd hours. If we need to have a meeting, it's going to have to be after work hours. Mm-hmm. You know, if that doesn't work for you, then I'm probably not your person. And I think anybody that I told that to and kind of told them what I was doing, you know, I was trying to build this business, I think they were more excited to work for me
under that situation. Cool. So. I think every entrepreneur, like business owner, has to go through that, just about the whole working at crazy hours thing. And I guess if you're not prepared to do that, then maybe you're not cut out for all this. No, not, right. Not really. But there are clever ways to do this. You know, like I know people that have got their job reduced to 3 days a week, which is a luxury that a lot of people don't have. Like I ended up on that at one point where I could spend the other 4 days a week on the business, but still it's a, you know, 7 day hustle at that point. Which, you know, I think everyone goes through that kind of stage where they're just grinding and grinding and grinding, to get out the other side. Like I can't do that anymore. Like I've got to a point where if I work that much, I like implode. But, you know, I did that for a long time, at least probably a year to 18 months, maybe more.
Yeah. You learn a lot of things when you do that though, because you learn a lot about your business at an accelerated pace, you know, so you learn the things that you do well and the things you don't do well and the kind of clients you want to work with and the kind of clients you really don't want to work with. So it's kind of like a big crash course when you're having to cram that much work in a short amount of time.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that's pretty common of people starting up is that referrals thing too, right? Like that's how most businesses end up growing in the beginning. And I just wanted to touch on that because I think it's really important to make sure you're doing a really freaking good job in those early days, right? Like spending as much time as you can to make sure things are right, because that's how you get referrals, right? Like if you're building sites for people and you're not getting referrals, it's probably because you haven't impressed them enough.
Yeah,
would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you impress them and you have a good working relationship with them, they're certainly more apt to refer you to somebody. But, you know, I've told a bunch of people, you got to ask for referrals too, because people might not know that you're needing that extra work, you know? So I developed a process early on where when we would kind of, when the project would get wrapped up, you know, I would ask them, ask them to leave me a review. And, nice. You know, ask them for those referrals. So, you know, I don't think there's any shame in asking for it. So if you ask people, they're certainly more likely to try to think of somebody, you know, actively try to search somebody out for you to help them out. But yeah, the first jobs I was doing, you know, I was building, you know, an entire website from the ground up and spending, you know, a month on it. And they were $500 jobs, you know. Yeah. Yes. You know, I was super stoked to make $500, you know, on the side at the time. But yeah, you gotta under promise and over deliver on all those, and that's how you'll build that referral network up. I mean, it's still, even, you know, here I am a couple years later from doing that, and I'm still trying to make sure that I over deliver on every job. You know, so, you know, my prices aren't $500 anymore, but I still want to make them feel like they got more value out of it than they paid monetarily.
Absolutely, yeah. And that applies to pretty much anything in business, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So jumping back into the story, you built up a 6-month little nest egg. And then what was that? You just dived in?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it got to the point where work was not, you know, I think when I got this bug and I knew that I was working towards this goal and I was going to be leaving my job, I think the original goal was like at the end of 2017. So I kind of had that date in mind. I had built up the runway sooner than I thought I would. And I was so busy with my side projects that, you know, there wasn't enough time in the day, and things at work got to a point where I was just so frustrated being there, especially knowing what I could be at home doing, you know, spending more time with my family, doing something I like, building my own wealth up instead of somebody else's, you know. So I think I got to the point where I was probably pretty miserable to work with, and I was miserable being there. So, me and the boss had a talk one day, and I think he was getting on to me about something, and I just told him, you know, I don't think I can stay here anymore, so I'm going to put in my 2 weeks notice and figure out something else to do. And at that point, he still had no idea that I was doing this on the side. I'm sure he's figured it out by now, but yeah, I put my 2 weeks notice in, and 2 weeks to the day, I was out of that door.
Oh, wow. That, man, that just must have been the best feeling.
Yes, it was the worst 2 weeks I ever had at a job, for sure. It was miserable. I was having to train people. Everybody who was there was pissed, you know. So that was a miserable 2 weeks. But walking out of that door, I'll never forget that. And that like first week where I got up every day, stayed in my pajamas, and worked from home. that was the best week of work ever.
Do you still do that? Do you still work from your PJs, or like, are you one of the people that have to have a routine where you change? You know, that's like a big thing, like separating work and home.
No. I am in gym shorts and a t-shirt all the time. In fact, I've tried to really cut down going out to like in-person meetings. Now I've built up some business to where I would say 50% of the people I'm working with remotely anyway, so I wouldn't even be able to go out and see them. But I still have quite a bit of local business. But even the local business, I try to push it to, you know, I might have somebody 2 miles from me and I'm doing a Skype call with them, because it's just more convenient for me. I can get other things done while I'm working at home. Plus I like to be in gym shorts and a t-shirt. So if I have to put pants on, I'm not too thrilled about it.
Yeah. Don't ask me to stand up. All this video is on. Nah, kidding. I have pants on today. yeah. And I mean, that's like, it's like a whole other topic, but it is like, it's the dream, right? If someone's listening to this, and they are in those early stages, they haven't yet quit their job, then that's, you know, if that's what you're working towards, like dangling the carrot in front of yourself, right? To give you some motivation to get there. Cause I definitely love that part of business. I mean, the other part is not waking up to alarm clocks because that was my, you know, that was one of my biggest things when one of my motivations, I just hated waking up at the same time every day, you know, to an alarm clock and then having to commute. So to think about like staying at home and working was just like, that was nice.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like it's probably not for everybody. There are probably those people that need that routine and need to get up and, you know, go to an office or something to be productive. You know, that's not me. I'd rather just be at home. And, you know, there's drawbacks to it too, where, you know, sometimes there's really blurred lines between, am I at work right now? Am I working right now? Or am I hanging out with the family? And sometimes I'm sitting, you know, in the living room with the family, but I got the laptop up and I'm working, you know? So, you know, there is some balance and stuff that goes into that that can be hard to navigate. Luckily, my family's super awesome. They've been very supportive of me. So, you know, every once in a while, the kids will let me know when I've been on the computer long enough, and they'll come tackle me, and I'll know it's time to put it up for a while.
And yeah, like you said, it's definitely not all positive. What's the word? It's not all puppy dogs and rainbows, right. Because there's a lot of negatives of working from home too, right? Like I sometimes leave the house and I go to the gym at like 6 p.m. and I realize that that's like the first word I've said all day to another human. And it's like, oh, that can't be healthy, right? Like, so it can get lonely. Now I talk to my dog and that definitely can't be healthy. She doesn't talk back.
Okay. Well, when she starts talking back, you're going to have to find some professional help for that one.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, but we all make it work. We all find the things that sort of get us through the day. And that's like, I guess what we talked about in the last episode with, building online community, getting involved with online communities, because that really helps when you're actually talking to people. You know, I've jumped on video calls just randomly with people from groups, like you were saying that you've done, you know, like Kim Doyle, I've been on a few with her, and Sometimes we might even broadcast it live, just like if it's something that will be helpful for other people, just to have some kind of interaction. That's kind of what this podcast is for me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about all the cool people you get to meet from all over the world. You know, I just never, you know, me and you would have never connected had it not been for like these communities, you know, so absolutely. it's super cool. But I feel your pain with your story about going to the gym last weekend. We woke up and we had nothing to do for the weekend and we decided to go to the mall. And I was very excited to like go to the mall because I hadn't been anywhere in probably like 3 weeks other than like my house, the bank, the post office. And, you know, so I was glad to go to the mall and walk around. So yeah, definitely can be a struggle.
That's freaking hilarious. Excited to get like, I don't think I ever get excited to go to the mall. So that's, that's unreal to me.
I don't either typically.
So. Yeah. That's gold. For me, co-working, I try and break it up with co-working as well. Try to get out once a week. Not everyone has that luxury. I guess it depends where you live. But also it's a real pain in the ass for me to get there. Like it's an unproductive day almost every time because I'm working from a laptop instead of massive screens and I've got a commute because it's in the city. But sometimes you just need that human interaction here. Oops. My internet's going crazy, but that's actually pretty good timing. I think we can wrap this up here unless there's anything else you want to add, Carl.
Yeah, one more thing I definitely want to say while we're talking about this is writing a business plan. So if you've never wrote a business plan before, just Google, you know, there's plenty of templates you can get. Write one. It's going to be terrible. You're going to think you have no idea what you're doing. You're going to be making up numbers and making up goals, and you'll look back on it in a few years and laugh at it. But it's super helpful to just actually have to sit down and think about all of these things. Think about the financials, think about who your audience is, what kind of goals you have set for yourself, and just putting those things down on paper, even if they don't turn out to be true, them being actual factual things that you know are for sure going to happen isn't that important. It's just the process of sitting down and doing that and going back at the end of the year and reviewing what happened and making a new plan for the next year. That's what I'll be starting to do in December, getting everything ready for 2019. So, you know, I've looked back at my first ones and they're just terrible. And I'm sure I'll look back at this year's and realize it's terrible too. But there's something about that process that makes you a whole lot more prepared.
Yeah. And look, it's funny when you said that because I'm an anti-business plan person. So I was like, ooh, is he going to go with this? But to be honest, everything you said, it makes sense, right? And like the financials, like understanding, you know, putting numbers down and the goals you're going to have to hit. I guess that is a business plan, right? So I have done it before and I'm actually a fraud. I'm not anti-business plan at all. Because I've always thought, you know, it's always just so much guesswork. But I guess like you've just said, it gives you at least it makes you think about it. That's the key, right? It forces you to actually think about how much you have to charge. Like you might realize that you might be thinking, oh, I'm just going to do lots of $500 sites. But if you work that out and how many you have to build, and how long it takes to build, how long it takes to get a client, you're going to work out pretty quickly that that's not going to work. So there are definitely.
My first business plan was definitely full of $500 sites. So I'm glad that did not work out the way I thought.
Yeah. So yeah, sitting down and actually thinking about like almost like a feasibility thing as well of financials. And I mean, that could also be part of what we talked about earlier, like coming up with like your minimum sort of viable income, what you actually need to get by and then shooting for a little bit more than that to start with and growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's not important how accurate it is. You know, it's just the process of doing it, making yourself think about it. And, you know, a lot of people are super talented at website design or whatever their craft is, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good business person, you know, and you don't have to be the best business person in the world, but you need to start thinking about the business side of things because you're not going to survive just making, you know, kick-ass websites for your clients. You know, you got to run a business at the same time. So at least if you don't have any business experience or you haven't gone to business school, at least having to sit down and go through those processes it'd definitely help you out.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me, Kyle. This has been a good little two-part series.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you having me on for sure.
All right. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review or share it with someone you think will get something out of it. If you know anyone who is just starting their business, just starting out in web design, that's going to be the target audience for this episode. Think about people you know and share it with them. So that's all. Thanks again, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.